Well, hello, lovely listeners. And yes, it's been quite a while, hasn't it? I did not intend to have such a break. I think I recorded my last podcast the back end of last year. I think it was the end of November. And we are now in May. So apologies if you've missed these wonderful episodes that I broadcast. And it was actually, I went to a networking event earlier and it was really lovely. I got to meet some people I haven't seen for ages. It's always an amazing, welcoming environment. If anybody's local to Warwickshire and the West Midlands, I went to the one in Leamington. It's Business Buzz. So a bit of a shout out to Business Buzz. And there's a wonderful guy called Vince who I've known now for about 2 or 3 years. And he said, no, you must carry on with your podcast, because I was thinking about just not doing it for a while. And so I thought, okay, sod it. He's right. And I actually did a live event, an audio event on LinkedIn this week with a wonderful friend of mine, Andy Wilson, and we've recorded it. So I thought, what better way to start off season 6 of my podcast? It's called How to Live a Life of Purpose with True Love and Passion. And the plan is, this is part one. So the plan is there's going to be more of these in the future. And it is basically highlighting the things that people are doing in life to get by, to make themselves believe that everything's okay and that they're actually happy, and the common mistakes that I tend to see with the people that I talk to in my coaching work. If you're a regular listener, you know I'm a coach. I'm a soul purpose and relationship coach. For me, it's all about the relationship with yourself. Everything else is a symptom of that. So if you're in a relationship where you feel trapped or unfulfilled or not happy, or in your career feeling exactly the same, like it's not your purpose, you're just doing it because it pays the bills, which, let's be honest, is a large percentage of the population. But if that's you, then just know that, you know, if the will is strong enough within you, then you can change that, because I did. I changed my life a few years ago. I got out of my marriage that was not my heart's desire. Lovely guy, but not my heart's desire. And eventually decided to, put my big girl pants on, as I say, and went for my coaching business back in 2020. Yeah, 2020, sorry. And that's what I've been doing for the last 3-4 years. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. But you've got to have the right, you've got to have the will, and you've got to have the right mindset. You've got to have the right accountability. You've got to have the right input, the positivity, you know, the inspiration, all of that good stuff. So, so today's episode is how you can do that. So there's some great takeaways in there. There's also some great exercises that you can do straight away and really start getting honest with yourself, which some people don't like to do. And if you're not ready for that, then that's fine. But if you are, it's a great thing to do, honestly. So I will stop waffling and over to me and Andy. So welcome, lovely listeners. And today me and Andy want to talk about, as the event says, how to live a life of purpose with true love and passion. Me and Andy are friends, have been for a number of years, and we are both coaches, soul purpose coaches, very passionate about people finding their purpose and living their purpose. And today's event really is looking about where you're currently at in your relationship. So this is for you if you feel trapped and unfulfilled in your relationship, if you're feeling suffocated by your partner's dependence on you, if you are feeling frustrated that you are leading the way all the time, frustrated that your partner always thinks they're right and perhaps never listens to you, perhaps you're fed up with being criticized all the time, and feeling like your partner doesn't understand you and perhaps wants different things in life. And then there's that old classic comparing your relationship to others. I remember doing that a few times. And this one's definitely for me, wondering how life would have turned out with someone else. Christ alive, that plagued me for years. And feeling like something is missing, or perhaps
you now just feel like your partner or your spouse is just like a housemate and not actually a lover. And deep down, you know you're settling in some way for a life that you don't really want.
I tell you what, Mel, like, I just counted there. You read out 10 things there. And, you know, the thing I just want to make really clear here is that this is far more common than most people allow themselves to believe, you know, because when people are sort of sharing themselves with us and we're talking with friends or even connecting with people on social media, we only really get to see the best side of people's lives. Yeah. You know, the side that they want us to see. And not many of us really, and rightly so, don't really feel that comfortable with sharing our ins and outs, you know, airing our dirty washing in public, so to speak. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what that means is we get this kind of false perception that everyone else's life is perfect and that they're getting along just fine. And that we're the only ones who are having these troubles in our relationship, these troubles in our life. And it's just not the case. So if for anyone listening who hears yourself in any of those things Mel just shared, you're certainly not alone. This is incredibly common. And in our work together, in my and Mel's work as coaches, we see this all the time. And like I say, we've both experienced this firsthand in our lives, haven't we, Mel?
Yeah.
And the thing to say is as well, you know, we do really get the fact that when you've got any of this going on in your life, the problem can seem so overwhelmingly insurmountable. It can seem so big that you just don't even know where to start. And so, therefore, you probably don't make a start. And what you end up doing is, this is what I've found in my life at least, if I don't know how to start and begin solving a problem, I don't. And so, therefore, I end up just tolerating the problem.
Yeah.
So you end up tolerating a life you don't want, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's like so many people. I would say, I mean, I put a post up the other day and I made the figure up, but I said 80% of people, and I don't think I'm far off with that figure. Might be a bit more, a bit less. But so many people are putting up with shit, as I call it, in lots of different areas of their life, you know, but the relationship is obviously the real big one. Thanks for that, Andy. So today we also want to share some practical exercises that you can actually do that will allow you to, you know, begin moving forwards with a lot more confidence from where you're currently at. And so for reflection for you right now, as a listener, you know, what is it you're not happy with? So ask yourself the following questions. What exactly is it that you're not happy with in your relationship right now? Perhaps it's just one thing that comes straight to mind, or maybe there's multiple things. But what was, you know, whenever I do this exercise with people, I always say, what's that first thing that came straight to mind? Because that is usually the telltale of the biggest thing that is really, really pissing you off right now.
Can I just say, Mel, actually, as well, it's like, this is actually one of the biggest mistakes I've made in the past, is being dissatisfied with a situation and not being 100% clear on what exactly it is I'm not happy about in the situation. I'm just aware I've got this low-level frustration going on, and I might find myself being fed up with either people that are part of that situation, or just the situation itself, or even just myself, but I'm not really sure exactly what the problem is. And I think that's one of the main key goals of today's call, is to provide people the ability to get clarity on where they're at, because it's clarity that allows the problem to not seem so insurmountable. The only reason we don't know where to start is because we don't actually really know what the problem really is. We haven't really defined it. So, yeah, chiming in there. Clarity is so important. Clarity and honesty.
That is absolutely where I sort of found myself back in my marriage, because I thought there was other reasons for me not being happy. Like, you know, I wasn't quite fulfilled in my career. I didn't quite make it to Wembley Stadium and all of these other things that I thought I was going to do as a younger woman. And so I continue to continually strive for more, for better, for more money, passive income, worrying about my parents, worrying about everybody else. And as a result of all those things, I was always busy. And when I was in my marriage, the big thing for me that I did was avoid the honest conversations with him. And it's only retrospectively when I look back to that, all of the things I kept myself busy and distracted with, like the business opportunities, and I've got lots of things that really interest me. You know, I'm a singer-songwriter, I was doing photography. So it's only looking back that I realized just how much I was distracting myself to avoid A, having the alone time with my husband, and B, having these honest conversations with him. And more importantly, having the being honest with myself. You know, while I was busy, 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 I didn't have to think about my own thoughts and my own feelings. And, you know, for us, I'd already got a child when we married. And then we were talking about having children ourselves. And that was something, that was a process we went through and never ended up having children, which again, in hindsight, is a good thing. But the people that do have share kids together, you know, when they're, you know, and this was one of my clients who's now a friend, actually, her whole thing for years was like this empty nest syndrome. Well, how the hell am I going to feel when the kids have gone? I'm not happy now. What the hell am I going to feel like then? And that was just continually on her mind every single day. And for her, it sort of resulted in depression and everything before she actually went and got proper help.
I mean, like a lot of people, just take my own experience, for example, you know, like in my relationship, you know, we've got kids together. Our kids are like, 16 and 13. And we've spent so much of our life paying attention to the kids and the kids' needs. And we recently realised that we've been kind of using all the attention that we put on the kids to kind of avoid spending quality time together, because it's become not normal for us to do that. Mm. It's become not normal for us to spend quality time together. So now it's uncomfortable and a bit strange to do it, because it's like, well, if the kids aren't there, it just feels a bit strange. And all of a sudden you start finding yourself in that weird territory of, okay, we're actually now avoiding spending time with just us together. And recently we decided to, well, I say fairly recently, within the last couple of years, decided to really turn that around and decide to purposefully shift that around and spend that quality time together. Because once our kids leave, we won't know who each other are if we didn't change that, you know. And that's something, yeah, I think that can really creep up on people. And it's not just kids either. It could be that, say, for instance, just something in your life changes that then changes the dynamics. Maybe both of you end up working at home. I mean, that happened to a lot of people in lockdown. People were then forced together when they were used to spending a lot of time apart, and they didn't know how to deal with being together because they didn't really like being together as that much. They didn't know really how to deal with it. Or maybe something will change in one person's career, and or maybe there'll be retirement. You know, any kind of change in your life can all of a sudden change the dynamic. And you have to be aware of where your relationship's at so that you can ride the tide of change in life. I think that your relationship can come out the other side thriving, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Andy, because you're obviously very evolved in terms of your own personal growth and spiritual growth, and I think it would have been easier for somebody like you to spot that a lot sooner than your average Joe.
If I'm honest, Mel, if I'm honest, the only reason that I spotted it is because it started becoming a problem.
Right.
It started rearing its head as a very real problem in my life due to the fact that I simply wasn't taking care of it. You know, so no matter how evolved people are, it's like at the end of the day, we're human, and life goes on in a way that can catch us unaware if we're not paying attention to the things that really matter.
Yeah, well, fair comment, and thank you for being so honest about that. So the other one that we were talking about before we did this call, Andy, is Another big one, we're expecting our partner to change. You know, this is another mistake that people make. We expect the other person to change because we don't like how they are, or we don't like something that's going on. And I know this is quite a big one for you, isn't it?
It was in the past. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there was a relationship that I was in where my partner was, she was unhappy in her work, basically. And she was coming home continuously moaning about the people at work. And you know, fair play, because it was a hard job. And you know, we don't always love our work. However, when it starts to become a pattern that every day you're moaning about your work and you're continuously going back there every day, that started to frustrate me, because as being on the receiving end of listening to that every day, because all you ever hear is someone moaning about something and then see them not doing something about it. And so what I was getting frustrated was there was this circular behaviour. There was this behaviour of continuously moaning about it, but continually going back to the thing that was creating the problem for her. And she was just repeating herself again and again. And what I ended up doing, which was a big mistake, it was a disastrous mistake, right, was I ended up believing that if I would try and reveal to her that she was continuously, you know, complaining about this work issue and going on about it continuously in circles, that she would see that. She would see the fact that she's repeating that, and then that she would then stop doing it and change. Like, she would either get a different job, or she would just stop moaning about it. But of course she didn't. Of course she didn't. And ironically, what then happened was telling her about that circular behaviour then became my circular behaviour. And all we were actually ended up doing was feeding each other's patterns. And it was a big mistake on my behalf, because what I ended up learning was, after that, you know, relationship going wrong, was that the more evolved way to approach that would have been to just listen to her and let herself talk herself round in circles. You know, give her a loving hug and just be there for her when she gets bored with her story, you know, and just to just tell her she's enough and just love her anyway. Just love her whatever she wants to do. You know, that would have been a far better choice for me at the time. But yeah, that was a big mistake I was making, expecting her to change just because I didn't like her behaviour, you know.
Oh, yeah. I remember being like that in my marriage as well. You know, I'd get so frustrated with my ex-husband because he wasn't showing up as I wanted a partner to show up. You know, he was still pretty much showing up as he always had done. But as the time went on, as the years went on, I was just getting more and more frustrated with it. And I suppose the classic women expecting it, or trying to change a man, want that man to evolve with you, you know, and you think at one point in that relationship, you think that it's a possibility, right? Because they're saying all the right things. But then as time goes on, you realise it's your stuff. It's not their stuff. And actually they're saying it to keep you happy. And maybe at one point they did believe it, but then there comes a time where they're just being themselves again. And then you realize, oh, actually, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I thought I signed up for. And so you project, you know, you project your shit onto them and make them wrong for it. And that's
the trouble, isn't it? As soon as we start making our partner wrong, our wife, our husband, our girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is, as soon as we start making them wrong, we're then blaming them for our lack of happiness, our lack of fulfillment in the relationship. It's now their fault, right? Yeah. And the trouble is, as long as we're doing that, as long as we're blaming somebody else, we're not empowered to make any change ourselves, because it's their fault. And you see, until they change, I won't be happy. That's basically what I'm saying to myself if I'm going along the playing the blame game, right? Yeah, and so I'm making a deal with myself that I'm not going to be happy until they change. But of course, if they don't, then now, you know, my happiness is in their hands. And who put it there? Me, right? So there's no responsibility in blame, unfortunately. And when I say responsibility, I mean the ability to respond. I don't mean blame. I just mean it's like your ability to actually do something about the situation. And the whole time you're blaming someone, resentment is building in the background. Because you feel obligated to put up with this person. Because the truth probably is that you're not honest enough to have just discussed it with them. To get this out in the open and discuss how you feel, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Another one, Andy, but this is another common one that people feel and come to me with. It's about asking, or is another mistake really, because if you ask advice from other people, other well-meaning people in your life, friends, family, etc., maybe work colleagues, but if you ask them advice about your relationship and what you should do, then yes, they might have some good reflections. And I think, you know, if you find that little gem of a person that says, look, I'm not into giving you advice, yes, I'll happily listen and offer any reflections that come up for me. But, you know, this is your life and your decision. If you find one of them, great. But most people are just thrusting their own viewpoint onto you because that's all they know. That's their perspective. That's their life. That's their life experiences. And that's what they're pulling on. So when you're talking about or offloading about your relationship, they are instantly going to their own relationship or a past relationship or whatever, something that's like a common ground, something that they can relate to, something that they can then churn up and give it to you as well-meaning advice. But of course, it's their perspective, it's their thoughts, it's their experiences. That's not you, that's not your life, that's not your experiences. And very often what people can do is they get very confused after getting that advice, especially if they've gone to multiple people, because everybody's got their own version of events. And at that point, your head's spinning because you're like, oh, shit, I really don't know which way to go now. I really don't know. You know, these are my own thoughts, but am I wrong in these thoughts? And she said that and he said that. And
the thing that you said there that really sticks out for me, Mel, is like, is this wrong? Like, there's that question. Or it could have been, is this right or is this wrong? The truth of the matter is there is no right and there is no wrong.
Yeah.
There is only what's right for you, and that's it. It's only you that knows you. It's only you that knows what's right for you. Until you sort of realise that, you're always going to be looking for someone to kind of make that decision for you almost, you know. Do you know something that it's funny that I see a lot of people doing, and I've done this myself in other areas of life as well. You're asking someone advice about what you should do in a certain situation in your life. And you're kind of aware that in the background you know what you want them to say. Now, if you know what you want the person to say, what do you think you should do? Do you know? It's like if you kind of already know what you want them to say, well, then there you go.
There's your answer.
There's your answer. That's what you should do because you know what you want. And I think it's just a matter of owning that, having the guts to own what you want and then committing to making that so. And that's always the best thing for you and everyone around you.
Yeah, I've done that loads myself, especially with that old flame of mine that I didn't get over for a long time. You know, everybody knew how wrong he was for me, but I was convinced. And so like I'd go and ask for advice and then just would not like their answers at all. So yeah, totally get that.
Yeah, it can work both ways. You can not like the answer as well. Yeah. At the end of the day, it's like you have to go and find out for yourself. Like if somebody is saying something and you don't like what they say, I would say, Mel, that you made the right decision. Even though apparently he was the wrong person for you, the point is you went and found out.
Yeah.
Because if you had taken someone else's advice on that, what you would have done is kept gravitating towards those situations that are not good for you. But you went and found out, so you learned something. You see what I'm saying?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so it's good choice.
okay, well, I think... we'll move on to there's some practical exercises that I thought would be really, really good. If you're feeling stuck or trapped or unfulfilled right now in your own relationship, there are some easy practical things that you can do to start gaining a bit more clarity for yourself and for your life. Writing things down, it brings a real order to your thoughts and it allows a lot more clarity. So start thinking about you know, what is it that you're not happy with right now? And start writing those things down.
I think the important point here, Mel, actually, is for people to realise this is something that deserves your time and space. This is something that you don't just do whilst you're, you know, got the kids in the car, or you're in the living room watching telly with everyone there, or whatever it is. This is something that you take yourself off into a quiet space where you're alone, and you give yourself the time and attention you deserve to actually sit down and think about your life. Think about what you're not happy with a piece of paper, and write this stuff down and take time about it. You deserve to give yourself time. Your relationship deserves to give this time.
Absolutely, because without that time, we don't go any deeper. And very often when you start doing something like this, and it's the same for people that like to journal or document or diaries and all the rest of it, sometimes things are more hidden than others, and it's only in the expression of that release, whether it be writing or speaking, whatever it is for you, that it jogs the next one, and then it jogs the next one. And so you might be surprised with what comes up. The important thing is you get truly, truly honest with yourself. You don't have to share this with anyone. And if you want to write it all down and then burn it, it's up to you. But if you can be truly honest with yourself about why the things that you have found yourself writing down, why they are such an issue for you, it's hugely, hugely powerful, because very often that will take you underneath what may be something superficial, like, I don't know, like he sits every night on the sofa. It's the first thing that came to my mind from my ex-husband. He used to drive me nuts. Now, it wasn't just about him sitting on the sofa, was it? There was way more to it than that. But in doing this exercise, and like Andy says, giving yourself that space, that time, which is a gift to yourself, let's be honest, because we don't do this. Then very often you can get underneath what the superficial stuff is to really start understanding what's truly, truly going on for you.
Another important aspect, Mel, which I really would like to make sure people are clear on, is that it's really important that we allow ourselves to just not be happy with the situation. Because what we tend to do is kind of try to convince ourselves it's not as bad as we kind of think. And maybe it isn't, but we need to allow ourselves to not be happy. We need to allow ourselves to just, for things to not be okay, and that's okay that things are not okay. You know, is to allow everything to just be really objectively and honestly looked at. Am I 100% happy with this? If it's like, oh, well, it could be better, but it's not that bad. No, put that down, write that down, explore that. Yeah. There's something there. And it's not we're not looking to focus on this in an overly negative way and dwell on it and make a mountain out of a molehill. We're not looking to do that. Until you give yourself the permission to be thoroughly honest and honour exactly where you're at in your life, you're hiding your own truth from yourself. And that's just really toxic, because there's something inside of you that's screaming to be heard, and we're purposefully kind of pushing it down, although it doesn't feel like we're purposefully doing it. So just allow things to not be okay and just get it down on the paper.
Yeah. And that was definitely me in my marriage, for sure. I was totally lying to myself and everybody around me. I didn't know it at the time, but I was. And and for me, it played out in lots of different ways, including a skin condition, because of the repression, which, again, I didn't know at the time. So everything you've just written down, all the negative stuff, which we don't want to go there, and it's difficult to do, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a reason we're getting you to do this, because what we want you to do now is flip that into a positive. So reframe it to what you do want instead. You know, like if you've put, I don't like the fact, you know, we don't go out anymore, then you're reframing that to, this is clearly showing me, you know, that what I actually want is to obviously spend more time going out and being out and about. But is it just being out and about, or is it that quality time that you actually want with your partner? Any other examples, Andy?
One that comes to mind is, like, so for instance, there's something you don't like in your relationship. It's the fact that maybe your partner criticizes you all the time. And it makes me feel like I'm not good enough. It makes me feel unloved. What I want to feel is loved and valued. And so the first thing that would begin that journey towards feeling loved and valued would be if I wasn't criticized all the time. So, you know, like, you can flip I'm not happy with being criticized all the time into I'm being shown love and affection and I'm valued. So I think the thing is to look at how the negative that you wrote down you don't like makes you feel, and then how, think about with this new piece of paper, how do you want to feel instead? So if you feel criticized, if you feel not good enough, if you feel unloved, maybe you want to feel valued, you want to feel cherished, you want to feel loved and valued. So, and then, you know, maybe then you can start thinking about, well, what would it look like for me to be feeling valued and cherished and loved? And that's how you can kind of get in touch with what you want, because the key here is, isn't it, Mel, is there's something we discussed before jumping on this call, is that dissatisfaction or things that aren't right in our life are actually an opportunity for us to understand what's important to us. Because the reason we're dissatisfied with something is because it's highlighting what's important to us that we're not getting.
Absolutely. And then, you know, this isn't part of what we are expecting anybody to do right now. This is a personal exercise for each and every person. But at some point, those positive, those how you want to feel instead, they will form the basis of an honest conversation with your partner at some point. And it's important to do this exercise for everything that was on your original list. You know, go through everything that you wrote down, go through everything that you said that you weren't happy with, and then turn that into how you do want to feel instead of the negative side of it. Okay, so I think as a free gift for attending today, I've done a little freebie for you, and it's the power of shared values and how they contribute to a much healthier relationship with your significant other. So it will help you think what might be misaligned in your relationship and actually what's truly valuable to you, because most people don't fully understand what their true core values are. And that's of nobody's fault. It's just how we are. It's how we've been brought up. There's never been a big focus on it. But the work that me and Andy do, we're very focused on uncovering those true core values, because it all comes from your unique life experience. And through that, you get to discover what you truly value and why. So there's a little freebie gift for you as part of this. So if you're interested in receiving that, you can just direct message me on LinkedIn and say yes, and I will make sure that you get a copy of that.
I think the value of that, Mel, just to highlight the real value of that little gift you're offering people and that free download there, is that when we understand ourselves, when we understand what it is we feel we most need, what we truly value in our life, and we can really pinpoint what that is, we can understand why certain situations upset us. And we can also understand how to gravitate towards more conducive situations that will make us happy. And then also, on top of that, what we can then do is use that knowledge to communicate with others when things aren't going so well, or even to communicate to them in terms of thinking about designing a life together that you'll both enjoy. You can really consciously begin to put your life together in a way that is designed just to suit who you are, because everybody's different. Everybody values different things. That's absolutely how it should be. But unless you know what those values are for you, you're going to be continuously kind of wondering why you're upset about this and why you're not happy. And that's normal. That's human. That's a real valuable gift that you're offering there. It might be free, but there's a lot of value there.
Yeah. Thanks, Andy. So before we move on to any questions, me and Andy both want you to know that you're not alone in this. You know, there are a lot of people that find themselves feeling dissatisfied, maybe trapped, maybe frustrated in their relationships. And if you approach this one step at a time and with care and compassion, you can absolutely turn your life around from a place of dissatisfaction to really living the life that you truly give a shit about. The first part of shrinking any problem so that you can deal with it is gaining clarity on what you're not happy with. And most people haven't given that much thought. So make sure you give yourself that time. What are you not happy with? And what would you love instead? Remember those exercises that we talked you through. But once you get to a point where you feel that confidence and that clarity about what you're happy with, what you're not happy with, and what you would like instead, then the next step has to be, you know, starting that open and honest conversation with your partner. And this is something that we're going to be covering in a little bit more detail in part two of this series. And if you want to be notified about part two, just send me a direct message in LinkedIn with your email address, and then I can make sure you get a heads up before the next event. So we've run over time, as I knew we would, but do we want to go through the Q&A, Andy?
Well, we do have a couple of questions that a couple of people have sent us. I think it'd be really valuable for our listeners to hear us answer these questions, because I think these are questions that everybody will have. Well, many people will have.
Yeah, okay. So a question I received last week was, how do I know if I'm settling or if it's actually that my expectations are unrealistic? And this is such a powerful question, and I can totally resonate with it because, you know, that was me for a long time. So you have to ask yourself some questions, really, and it's all about that clarity. It's all about being clear and being strong and true to who you truly are, rather than listening to other people. Again, you know, going back to that taking advice from others. So ask yourself, what do you want? What do you really want in your lifelong, you know, for the rest of your life? What do you really want? What do you want to experience? And be true to yourself. You know, you can write all these down. This is another third exercise, if you like. What do you want to achieve? How do you want to feel? That's one of the most important questions. How do you want to feel for the rest of your life? Do you feel like your relationship is taking you in that direction? Is it making you feel the way you want to feel? Is it helping you achieve what you want to achieve? Are you experiencing what you want to experience? And if you're dead honest with yourself and every answer there was no, 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 then chances are you are settling. Whatever you want your life to look like is totally valid. And it's never going to go away, because those desires, those dreams, those thoughts that we've had maybe since teenage, they're not going to go away. And what's unrealistic for one person is totally realistic for somebody else. But the only way you're going to know if you're being unrealistic is to actually go for it and find out. And it will probably require talking about it with your partner as well. You get to choose who you do your life with. But not doing it, it's not an option that leads to happiness. Yeah, I think that's probably my answer to that. Is there anything you'd like to add, Andy?
I liked what you said about the whether it's realistic or unrealistic. I just think that the only way I can say you can ever authentically answer that question, are my expectations realistic or unrealistic, do you actually want it or not? Do you really, truly want that in your life? If you do, then you have to approach that as that's realistic. You have to go. The only thing that makes something unrealistic is if you're attempting to bring something into your life that isn't really what you want. It's what other people have told you you should be doing or that you should have. Because so many people spend a lot of their life trying to tick the boxes so that they can be accepted and validated by others rather than just be happy with who they are. And that's okay, that's a choice. But my point is, it doesn't work. It doesn't lead to happiness. So unrealistic is going for things that you don't really want, that you don't truly care about. Realistic is choosing something that you truly want and deciding to go for it, and then being flexible on the timeline of achieving it, being patient to achieving it, because it's about committing to something that you want and then allowing that to take as long as it takes, but knowing that no matter what happens, you won't stop going for that thing. So therefore, unlike most people who will probably give up because they don't want it as much as you, you will get there. And that's what I think makes something realistic, is the ability to actually say and own the fact that you want this. And if that's something in your relationship, if that's something in your career, whatever it is in your life, if you want it, it's realistic. Go for it and find out. Yeah. What was the other question we had, Mel? It was, I've just got it here, actually. Let's read this out. Let's see what you think about this. It says here, I'm not happy in my relationship and my partner is financially dependent on me. If I decided to leave, how can I reconcile the impact this will have on them?
It is so tricky because, you know, most people are good people and most people have a response or feel a responsibility to others, especially if you've been with somebody for a long time, especially if you've ended up, you know, co-owning a house or joint mortgage, joint bills, all of that sort of stuff. But, you know, what you have to think about is if that's the reason why you are staying in a relationship, because you have this responsibility for your partner because they're financially dependent on you. There's the first thing to say is really you're making that decision to stay for the pair of you, because if you're feeling dissatisfied in that relationship, there's a fair chance that the other person is as well. And in you deciding that you can't do anything about it because you feel this responsibility toward them, then you're taking that decision away from that person as well. And you have to then reconcile that you're settling for financial stability they're settling for financial stability over true love. Now, that's crap. I mean, it is the reality for a lot of people. I remember thinking it myself when I was still married. You know, I thought about all the financial implications of splitting. You know, it is a huge, huge decision. It's not one to be taken lightly, but
The thing is, I can just imagine, though, being in that situation, if you think about, because there are lots of people who are financially dependent on another. I just want to say there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. However, it doesn't lead to happiness.
No.
Right? If that's your choice in life, I utterly honour and respect that. Absolutely. However, it doesn't lead to happiness. And the reason it doesn't lead to happiness is because, really, that other person that you're dependent on kind of owns you, not in a way that they want to lord power over you, but your life is dependent on whatever they do.
Mm.
And no matter what happens, you're never going to feel like you have the agency and the power to create your own life. You're always going to be at the beck and call and the mercy of what goes on in this other person's life. And I don't care who you are, that does not occur to anybody as freedom, right? Mm. So that's the other side of the coin of how disempowered the other person is. So like you were saying, Mel, the person who's asked this question is the person who's been depended on. But it's to realise how unhappy the other person probably also is, because they're settling for financial stability over true love. And, you know, another person's financial stability is not your responsibility, you know. To be financially stable, they need to be able to depend on themselves. And really what we're doing, if we're allowing someone to be dependent on us like that and we're staying just for that reason, is we're kind of enabling them to remain dependent on us and therefore remain unhappy.
Yeah, it's a quite interesting different way of looking at it, isn't it? Because people get so wrapped up in the fact that they have to be the strong, dependable one, and they completely lose sight of the fact that they're stripping away that other person's autonomy. And they're not doing it, obviously, on purpose. They're doing it from a good place, but essentially it's not helping either of them. And it deprives both people of that authentic loving relationship that is definitely out there for both of them. Really powerful questions. Thank you for those that shared those with us. Just before we finish, just a reminder, there's that free gift for you. 6 most aligned core values to create a healthy relationship. As I say, that will really help you start to look at your own relationship and what's misaligned and what is actually truly, truly valuable to you. So don't forget to send me a yes in the direct message. And just want to say thank you for listening and attending. And thank you to my wonderful friend and peer, Andy Wilson. You're a legend for being here today, Andy. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Mel. And really looking forward to jumping on with part two of this series with you to talk about the next step, which is having the honest, open, transparent conversation with the partner to create that fulfilling relationship based on what you really, truly want in your life.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thanks again, everybody. And we will see you in part two.
If you enjoyed that conversation or were inspired in any way, please, please leave me a review on iTunes. It's the best way for other people to find my podcast and be inspired themselves. If you'd like to know more about me and my coaching, you can find me at melclarkcoaching.com, Clark with an E on the end, or email me at mel@melclarkcoaching.com.